It is always the case that we're pleased when one of our own is chosen to be our devotional speaker. Today, Brother Bruce Hobbs, who is the Director of Public Relations at BYU Idaho, and who has been the strength behind the scenes for literally hundreds of these devotionals, is our presenter, and that's a very appropriate thing. He began his career as a purchasing agent while obtaining his master's degree at Brigham Young University. He went on to work as the contract manager for the church's purchasing department in Salt Lake City and later as a contract manager for purchasing at BYU. Brother Hobbs came to Ricks College in 1994, serving as the director of purchasing. In 1999, he was invited to assume his present assignment in the public relations office. Brother Hobbs graduated with a bachelor's degree in English and a master's degree in American Studies from BYU. He has served the church in many capacities, including branch president in the Missionary Training Center, bishop, counselor in a stake presidency, and at the present time serves as a stake high counselor. Brother Hobbs served a full-time mission in Korea. He and his wife, Julie, are the parents of four children, and at the present time, they have one grandson. Brother Hobbs, we're so pleased to hear from you.
Thank you, President Wilkes. It is a pleasure to be here. It's a bit intimidating. I'm grateful for the many emails I've received and encouragement and those who have prayed, and I hope that the Spirit will be with us today. Brothers and sisters, I appreciate this opportunity to share my feelings and testimony with you. Because your time is precious, I feel a responsibility to share something meaningful, something that the Lord would have you know. I pray for and invite the Spirit to be with us, and I hope that you would also pray for that Spirit to be with us. If we have the Spirit here today, then we'll all be taught in spite of my shortcomings. Who am I? Each of us must consider this question carefully. If we are to find true happiness, and if we're to navigate our way successfully through this life and into the next, when we understand who we really are and come to know our Heavenly Father, we will discover how much He loves us. Our Father loves all of His children. However, because of prior preparation and blessings and special gifts, He requires more from some of those children. Because we are here enjoying the blessings of the gospel, the holy priesthood, and an education at BYU Idaho, we can be sure our Father requires more from us. Once we understand who we are, we will not be so quick to question our Father's commandments or directions that we receive from priesthood leaders. I think the time will come when we will all wish we had tried harder to do the things we knew to be right. Thus, it is essential that we come to grips with who we are as soon as possible. Who am I? I am a child of God, and He has sent me here, has given me an earthly home with parents kind and dear. I am a child of God. Rich blessings are in store. If I but learn to do His will, I'll live with Him once more. I am a child of God. I'm grateful for the gifts and blessings He has given me. I believe these gifts include not only spiritual gifts and material blessings, but also family, friends, leaders, associates, opportunities, and daily experiences. Heavenly Father has always been aware of my needs and my desires, and He has been very kind to me. Yet, like many of you, in my weaknesses, I often struggle to do what is right. It reminds me of a favorite statement from Elder J. Golden Kimball. Quote, I am trying to be wise, I am trying to be prudent, and I confess I'm having a terrible time. I'm a man of weakness, and I'm a man full of faults, but God knows I've given Him the best effort that was in me. Close quote. It is important that we give the Lord the best effort that is in us. Throughout my life, there have been too many times I wish I had given more. I hope that I can live, that each of us can live without regrets. As I share some thoughts with you today, I do so humbly. I hesitate to use personal experiences because it may seem that this is about me, and it is not. My hope is that some of these experiences will confirm that God is mindful of all of His children. God does not love us for the things we accumulate or the worldly accolades we receive. He loves us for who we are and what we do. Several years ago, my daughter Jenny lost a very special ring in the grass of our backyard. We searched diligently, but it seemed hopeless. We'd been playing a ball game, and we didn't know exactly where we'd lost it. It was important to her, so she prayed for help to find this ring. We continued to search, and just before giving up, I kneeled down and just ran my fingers through the grass. I couldn't believe it. The ring slipped over one of my fingers. It seemed impossible, but there it was. How can we deny a Father who rules the universe, yet still cares about the small, important things of our lives? It's true that not every prayer is answered immediately, and sometimes the answers aren't what we hope for. But isn't it nice to know that the object of our faith and trust is a God who loves us and who knows our needs and concerns? I know that sometime in your lives, your Heavenly Father, in some large or small private way, has made His love and concern known to you. Through these experiences, we all know in a very personal way that He loves us, that He lives, that He blesses us regularly, and that He wants us to succeed. He wants us to grow to be like Him and to return with our families to His presence, to our heavenly home. Our Father blesses each of us according to His wisdom and according to our needs. He is fully involved in our lives and with our success and our happiness. Quote, "For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." Close quote. The allegory of the tame and wild olive trees in Jacob 5 teaches powerfully of the love and the effort the Lord showers on His vineyard. He nourishes, He digs, He prunes, He dungs, and He works tirelessly to protect and preserve the trees of His vineyard. What a great example of His love and effort and sacrifice to bring to pass our immortality and eternal life. Doesn't this help somewhat with the question of who am I? Elder Dennis E. Simmons taught, quote, "Mortality is not an accident of nature. It is a brief segment of the great plan of our loving Father in heaven to make it possible for us, His sons and daughters, to achieve the same blessings He enjoys, if we are willing. In our premortal life, we were instructed by Him as to the purpose of mortality. We will make an earth whereon these may dwell, and we will prove them herewith, to see if they will do all things whatsoever the Lord their God shall command them." So there we have it. It's a test. The world is a testing place for mortal men and women. When we understand that it's all a test, administered by our Heavenly Father who wants us to trust Him and to allow Him to help us, we can see everything more clearly. Close quote. Brothers and sisters, life is temporary. It is a time to see if we will use our blessings and talents as He directs, as He uses them. To help us, our Father has given us many special gifts. One such gift is a physical body. Our bodies give us great powers and provide great opportunities if we use them in appropriate ways. But these bodies also bring into play our carnal natures. If we do not use our bodies appropriately, their powers can destroy us and can be very harmful to others. In Mosiah, we read, quote, "The natural man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever, unless he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father." Close quote. Along with our bodies, our Father has given us the gift of agency, the power to act for ourselves and not be acted upon. we are able and free to become like our Father or to become like our brother Lucifer. To become like our Father, we must overcome our natural being. Often the natural man uses the gift of agency as a justification for doing what we want. Have you ever used the phrase, "Well, I have my agency"? Elder David Bednar often taught that agency is the gift to act, and that agency is more about acting than choosing. With agency, we are free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for ourselves and not be acted upon. Yet with agency, we are accountable. We're responsible to act in the way the Lord would have us act and to use our time and blessings appropriately. Quote, "Verily I say, men should be anxiously engaged in a good cause and do many things of their own free will and bring to pass much righteousness, for the power is in them, wherein they are agents unto themselves." Close quote. We can learn a great lesson by comparing Nephi with Laman and Lemuel. Nephi humbly submitted his will to the Lord and kept every commandment he received. It seems that Laman and Lemuel murmured about every commandment of the Lord. Why did they murmur? Because they did not believe that Nephi was instructed of the Lord. When and why do we struggle with our agency and with murmuring? When do we fall away? When do we complain or feel offended at a word or a commandment or a policy? We murmur when we, like Laman and Lemuel, give in to pride. Pride is a selfishness and part of the natural man. It is a great roadblock to our progress. Pride causes contention. We look sideways at others, judging and comparing rather than looking upwards to God. We live for ourselves and not for God. We think, "My will be done, not thy will." We murmur when we doubt the Lord's existence or involvement in our lives, when we don't believe our leaders are instructed of the Lord, when we mock sacred things, and when we follow our own agendas. Sometimes we just doubt. Laman and Lemuel said, quote, "We knew that ye could not construct a ship. We knew you were lacking in judgment. Wherefore thou cannot accomplish so great a work." Close quote. President Monson taught that Satan tries to fill us with doubts and fears. Quote, "You can't do it. You're too young. You're too old. You're too inexperienced. You can't do it." Close quote. I was impressed when Elder Bednar's son Michael said, quote, "Faith has driven fear out of my father's life." Unquote. Well, how can we put off this natural man? We do it by yielding to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and turning to Christ. The promptings of the Holy Ghost and the great enabling power of the atonement help us control our physical natures and our passions. God's grace can give us the power to submit our wills to His will and to be obedient. The Holy Spirit will lead us to become saints if we, as the Savior commanded, become like children, meek, humble, and willing to submit to our Father. Then our Father, who knows us best and who knows what is best for us, can mold us into what He knows we can and must become. Elder Russell M. Nelson taught, quote, "We must think as God would think, say what He would say, act as He would act, and do what He would do, and love as He would love." Close quote. In short, brothers and sisters, we must exercise our agency appropriately and become like Him. To ensure our success in this, our Father has filled our lives with many special events and tender associations. Elder Maxwell taught the following in his last general conference address. Quote, "There are clusters of memories embedded in each of your lives, and these can help us to remember how merciful the Lord hath been. He certainly has been to me." Close quote. Elder Bednar taught a similar concept last general conference as he explained the many tender mercies that come from the Lord to each one of us. He first quoted from Nephi, quote, "But behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all those whom He has chosen because of their faith, to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance." Unquote. Elder Bednar went on, quote, "I testify that the tender mercies of the Lord are real, and that they do not occur randomly or merely by coincidence. Often the Lord's timing of his tender mercies helps us to both discern and acknowledge them. Through personal study, observation, pondering, and prayer, I believe I have come to better understand the Lord's tender mercies are the very personal and individualized blessings, strength, protection, assurances, guidance, loving kindnesses, consolation, support, and spiritual gifts which we receive from, because of, and through the Lord Jesus Christ." Close quote. Elder Bednar also taught that those who qualify for the Lord's tender mercies are those who are chosen by the Lord, and they are chosen because of their obedience, their aspirations, and their hearts. Does it not seem reasonable that a small girl loved by her Heavenly Father might be chosen and receive the tender mercy of finding a special ring as a consequence of her humble, faithful prayer? In addition to these tender mercies and in this wisdom, God has blessed us with weaknesses. Quote, "If man come unto me, I will show unto them their weaknesses. I give unto men weaknesses." Why would he do that? That we might be humble and turn to him for help. Quote, "For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them." Unquote. It is very important that we are humble and wise enough to turn to the Lord and acknowledge his hand in the tender mercies of our lives. It is also necessary that we acknowledge his hand in our successes and our accomplishments, that we may receive and develop the gifts of humility and meekness, which gifts are essential for us to ultimately receive the greatest of all gifts, eternal life. As we learn from Satan's experience in the preexistence, this work is not about us, and it's not about our glory. For it is not by our power that these things are done. The glory and honor must be given to the Father. In Jacob 4, verses 6 through 7, we read, quote, "Wherefore we search the prophets, and we have many revelations, and the spirit of prophecy, and having all these witnesses, we obtain a hope, and our faith becometh unshaken, insomuch that we truly can command in the name of Jesus, and the very trees obey us, or the mountains, or the waves of the sea. Nevertheless, the Lord showeth us our weakness, that we may know that it is by his grace and his great condescensions unto the children of men that we have power to do these things." Close quote. John Ruskin wrote, quote, "I believe the test of every great man is humility. I do not believe that humility means doubting one's own personal power. Really, truly great men have a curious feeling that greatness is not in them, but through them. And they see the divine in every other man and are endlessly, foolishly, incredibly merciful." Close quote. Brothers and sisters, I'm a weak and simple man, and I've not always accomplished all that I should have. But if the Lord continues to love me and my weaknesses, then he will help you and love you. We are all among the weak and the simple, but he loves us. During my mission to Korea, President Elder Hinckley made a visit. When he spoke to the missionaries, he looked at us for a moment and paused and then said, quote, "You aren't much, but you're all he has." Close quote. Our Father knows our weaknesses and he knows our needs. He knows what's best for us and he provides us with the experiences and associations from which we can learn great truths. About 18 months into my mission, I was called to be a district leader. This was a particular district because it had four Korean sisters. I was not the most talented Korean speaker in our mission, and the sisters posed an incredible challenge for me. Not only did I struggle to communicate and interview with them, but they brought a number of investigators for baptismal interviews. The other senior elder in this district was a great missionary who had received a powerful gift of tongues. Elder David Middleton not only spoke and understood Korean, he wowed the Koreans with his skills and his pronunciation. In most settings, Koreans would turn immediately to Elder Middleton because of his language skills. For a weak and simple older district leader, this was humbling. One Sunday afternoon, as I struggled with this situation, I received an impression that continues to have application for me. In our lives, the Lord blesses or gifts us with people who possess greater abilities in some areas than we have, that we might be humble. I believe He does this so that we can look to and trust others to help us with our responsibilities and assignments. We can't do it ourselves. This work is not about us. It's the Lord's work, and it's His glory. We are merely assisting Him. In order to bless others and to follow and become like our Savior, we must acknowledge this fact and get out of the way. As a young father and a first-time homeowner, I discovered there were many chores around the house that had to be done, and I wasn't very good at them. One fall, I had to winterize the swamp cooler. To do that, we get on the roof. I was feeling sorry for myself, and my daughter excitedly asked if she could get on the roof with me. You know, kids love to get on the roof. Dads hate having kids on the roof because they run around, they get too close to the edge, they create distractions, and well, just because. When you're the dad, you get to get on the roof, and the kids don't. But Jenny ignored my objections and pressed me to let her on the roof. She promised she'd sit still. With my special daddy authority, I told her she could get on the roof, but it wasn't going to be pleasant. She was to be out of the way, remain very, very still. She was so excited that she agreed to these terms. Once on the roof, I did my dad job, and Jenny sat in the kid's spot. She was pretty good about it, but whenever she thought of leaving her assigned area, I commanded her to sit down. Eventually, she grew bored with the arrangement and wanted down. I exercised my fatherly prerogative, said, "You wanted to be up here, and you stay here till we're finished." I'm sure her on-the-roof experience was not as pleasant as she had hoped. Finally, I finished my work and started to put the cover on the cooler. It was just a large tarp to be wrapped around it. By this time, the wind had begun to blow, and I couldn't hold down all the corners and tie the loose ends. I struggled for a time, and finally a little voice said, "Dad, I can help." Well, among other imperfections, I'm stubborn and ornery. She was just a little girl, and she couldn't help. I didn't have time to mess around with that. However, I grew frustrated and eventually gave up and finally allowed this cute little girl to help me, and we soon finished the task. How embarrassed I felt. Once again, the Lord taught me in a tender mercy how much we can achieve when we acknowledge our weaknesses and allow others to help us and teach us. In my career, I've learned the same thing. Each time I admit that I don't know everything, and when I allow others to help me and share their talents, I learn a great deal. It's important that we understand it's not about us, that we need to give others the opportunity to contribute and to grow and to succeed. God humbles and teaches us. In the words of Mormon, it says, quote, "And now I do not know all things, but the Lord knoweth all things which are to come, wherefore He worketh in me according to His will," close quote. And in the Lord's wisdom, He gives us friends and family to help us and to strengthen us. I always loved the following verse from the Joseph Smith history. Quote, "While preparing to start, being very poor and the persecution so heavy upon us that there was no probability that we would ever be otherwise, in the midst of our afflictions, we found a friend. And a gentleman by the name of Martin Harris who came to us and gave me $50 to assist us on our journey." Close quote. Well, the swamp cooler scene has played out many times in my life, and slowly I'm learning the lessons. My infinitely patient wife and my children and fellow employees have added so much to my life. When I allow others to help and teach me, I am far more successful and much happier. And so again to Mosiah 3:19. If we in faith humble ourselves and acknowledge our weaknesses and submit to the Lord's wisdom, He can work wonders with us. He can make so much more of us than we can make of ourselves. It is also a tremendous blessing to invite others into our lives. For when we open our hearts to others, we discover the importance and power of love, another of our Father's great gifts. The power of love is demonstrated in Christ's pure love and charity. This pure love is at the heart of all of God's power. It gave the Father strength to give His only begotten Son, and it allowed that Son to endure and to accomplish the atonement for us. Elder John Groberg taught, quote, "When filled with God's love, we can do and see and understand things that we could not otherwise do or see or understand. Filled with His love, we can endure pain, quell fear, forgive freely, avoid contention, renew strength, and bless and help others in ways surprising even to us. Jesus Christ was filled with unfathomable love as He endured incomprehensible pain, cruelty, and injustice for us. Through His love for us, He rose above other insurmountable barriers. He invites us to follow Him and partake of His unlimited love, so we too may rise above the pain and cruelty and injustice of this world and help and forgive and bless." Close quote. Moroni 7:47 and 48 reads, quote, "Charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with him. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which He hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of His Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as He is pure." Close quote. How can we receive this great gift of charity and be purified as our Savior is pure? It is bestowed upon us when we follow a chain of gospel principles that leads us forward precept by precept. If we are to be purified as Christ is pure, we must exercise our agency and act for ourselves in righteousness. To act in this way, we need faith, which is the first principle of the gospel, and another gift of God. As we develop faith, we also receive the gift of hope. Quote, "What is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of His resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in Him according to the promise." Close quote. Faith and hope provide security and direction. President Hinckley lives by these principles. Quote, "It all works out. Don't worry. I say that to myself every morning. It will all work out. If you do your best, it will all work out." Does that sound like him? Put your trust in God. Move forward with faith and confidence in the future. The Lord will not forsake us. If we put our trust in Him, if we pray to Him, if we live worthy of His blessings, He will hear our prayers. Close quote. This is the Lord's work, and we can do all things in the strength of the Lord, but it requires commitment and great effort on our part. We must gratefully accept our Father's gifts. We must exercise our agency and put off our natural man. We must seek the Lord and meekly submit to His will. This requires sacrifice on our part. Elder Bruce Hafen taught, quote, "Growth means growing pains. It means learning from our mistakes in a continual process made possible by the Savior's grace, which He extends both during and after all we can do. But grace is not cheap. It is very expensive, even very dear. How much does this grace cost? Is it enough simply to believe in Christ? The man who found the pearl of great price gave all he had for it. If we desire all that the Father hath, God asks all that we have. To qualify for such exquisite treasure is in whatever way is ours, we must give the way Christ gave, every drop he had. How exquisite ye know not, yea, how hard to bear ye know not, all of his heart, all of our hearts. If we must give all that we have, then our giving only almost enough is not enough. If we almost keep the commandments, we almost receive the blessings. We can have eternal life if we want it, but only if there is nothing else we want more. So we must willingly give everything, because God himself can't make us grow against our will and without our full participation. Yet even when we utterly spend ourselves, we lack the power to create the perfection only God can complete. Our all by itself is still only almost enough until it is finished by the all of him who is the finisher of our faith. At that point, our imperfect but consecrated almost is enough. Close quote. Our Heavenly Father wants to give us all he has. He knows what that'll take. He knows we're weak and we must learn and grow. He knows that for us to receive this great gift, we must put off the natural man and surrender our wills to him. In a recent devotional, Elder Goslin also taught on this subject, quote, President Joseph F. Smith saw in the vision the hosts of the dead who had offered sacrifice in the similitude of the great sacrifice of the Son of God. How can our sacrifices be in the similitude of the Savior's great, infinite, and eternal sacrifice? Very simply, we can submit our wills to the Father's. Rather than persisting in our carnal wills and desires, our wills, like the will of the Son, should be swallowed up in the will of the Father. This is how Christ lived. This is how Joseph Smith lived. Such submission to God led ultimately to death. Joseph's martyrdom was indeed in the similitude of the Lord's great sacrifice, for he went where he was, sent, and he did, knowing full well where it would lead. Close quote. In his final general conference address, Elder Maxwell taught, quote, as you submit your wills to God, you are giving him the only thing you actually can give him that is really yours to give. Don't wait too long to find the altar or to begin to place the gift of your wills upon it. Close quote. We're children of our Heavenly Father. Can we see his love for us in the events, lessons, people, and tender mercies of our lives? Can we turn to him in meekness and faith? We have to let go of everything, even what seems good to us, if we are to gain the greatest of all gifts. At the risk of revealing how shallow I can be, I'll give you another example from my life. I learned so many things from my wife and children. They keep me humble. My son Sam loves games. He loved golf and became quite good at an early age. He had some success in junior golf tournaments and, in fact, qualified for the Junior World Championships in Torrey Pines, California. One day, Sam thoughtfully asked, Dad, how can you play golf for 30 years and never be any good? Now, that's a fair question, one I'm still trying to answer. It reminds me of my son, BJ. I came home one day from playing. He asked me how I did. I says I had the worst round of the year. He looked at me and said, maybe. Yeah, we proved him right. Well, along with Sam and BG, I realized that I may never be any good. But as I've struggled to improve, I begin to understand that I need to think differently. I may have to give up a satisfying part of my game if I want to get better. Like many others, I love to hit the ball far. I enjoy beautiful long shots. But I'm beginning to see that if I want to improve my scores, I have to give up some of those beautiful long shots in favor of control and consistency. I must exercise some judgment. Control and consistency is not as awesome as power, but it makes for lower scores, and that is good. Perhaps a better example. This past spring, my wife, Julie, and I had an opportunity to visit Nauvoo in the temple. For those of you who have not had that opportunity, let me tell you, it's beautiful. As I sat in the celestial room, I thought of the prophet Joseph and the saints. They came to Nauvoo to build Zion. They came to build their homes and a temple to their God. How hard it must have been for them to leave all they'd worked for. But as I thought on these things, I began to realize that it was important for them to leave and move to the Rocky Mountains. They went west, and though it was not what they wanted to do, and though it seems they had failed, in Salt Lake they established themselves. They built homes, churches, and temples. They built up the church and the kingdom of God. They gave up their homes and their temple in Nauvoo, but in Salt Lake, protected from the world, the kingdom thrived. Faith and membership, financial and spiritual resources all grew to the point where the church could return to Nauvoo and rebuild the city and the temple. Today, the temple and the church's presence exist in great strength. And one day, I believe, there will be temples in Independence and at Adam on Diamond, and there will be a dedicated house of the Lord in Kirtland. Though they were forced to let go of so much in Nauvoo, the Lord opened the door for His kingdom to return, and it will never be removed. They gave up something good for something better. We too must let go of what we think is best and trust the Lord. He will see that the work is done. Brothers and sisters, I am grateful for many blessings. I'm grateful for my parents who have sacrificed their interests for me and who have taught me many important lessons. I'm grateful for my wife, for her patience and her sacrifices. She encourages me and makes me a better person. I try hard, but I often end up doing the measurable things, while she constantly is doing the kind and charitable things. I'm grateful for the brethren, and I love them and their teachings. I believe that I gained this love for the brethren from my grandfather, who also loved them. He often told me, quote, "There ain't but one of those guys that don't know what he's talking about," close quote. I bear witness that that is true. I know my Heavenly Father lives and He loves us. I know that His greatest desire is to bring to pass our immortality and eternal life. I know that we're all weak and we struggle to be what we should be, but our Father is patient with us if we sincerely try. We can't continue to ignore the little things or resist on obeying the commandments, large or small, or resist following the counsel of the brethren. The little things define our character. Our Father is trying to guide us back to His presence. Be thou humble in thy weakness, and the Lord thy God shall lead thee by the hand and give thee answers to thy prayers. Be thou humble in thy pleading, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee with a sweet and calm assurance that He cares. Be thou humble in thy calling, and the Lord thy God shall teach thee to serve His children gladly with a pure and gentle love. Be thou humble in thy longing, and the Lord thy God shall take thee home at last to ever dwell with Him above. Of this I bear witness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.